This episode is sponsored by the winningest shell in the history of sporting clays and Fetask history, Game Boar Shot Shells. No other brand has won more world championships. White Gold and Dark Storm contain precision-made diamond shot that is graded 5 times for consistency and has high-performance smooth velocities, providing less felt recoil. You put in the work. Now load up with the best. Why trust anything else? Available throughout the U.S. exclusively from KL Ammo. Find them online at www.gameboarus.com. Game Boar are simply the champion's choice.
American-made Atlas traps are made right here in Kansas and feature the finest quality, innovation, and support in the business. Atlas traps are made using aircraft quality aluminum and stainless steel to ensure your traps will outlast the competition.
So whether you're an individual needing a private trap for practice and recreation, or a club needing to outfit your entire facility, family-owned and operated Atlas traps can suit all your needs.
Visit atlastraps.com to see the full line of commercial and recreational traps and accessories. With prices that won't make you see red and quality that won't leave you feeling blue, Atlas has the finest equipment available.
Hey, clay shooters, it's that time again.
These guys aren't just anybody, they're good.
It's time for the Dead Pair Podcast with Jason Rambo.
Does your brain hear what your mouth is saying?
And Sean Alley.
He's large and in charge.
Here to bring you all things sporting clays, from the ins and outs, tips and tricks, news and gossip from pro shooters, service and industry specialists, coaches, clubs, and more.
Often imitated, never duplicated.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
Welcome, everyone, to the Dead Pair Podcast.
About you, are you having like an episode of deja vu right now?
Don't go there. So Sean once again left the door unlocked, and we have an in-studio guest with us,
Dustin Maroon. How you doing, sir?
Good. What's going on, guys?
We're good. Hopefully this will be the better cake. Yeah. For those of you listening, wonder why we're chuckling. We've had some storms rolling through here, and we got about 5 minutes in with our first podcast, and the power cut, and everything got wiped off the memory card. So this is kind of take two for the first 5 or 10 minutes here.
We wanted to do something different. This episode is being driven by all the texts and emails and direct messages and you name it, we have got from people just begging us to do something on a show with etiquette and explaining what's Lewis class, what's back to class mean. I mean, there's been so many basic questions, even from people that are already competing. They don't know, they get confused. And so we thought we'd put this together. Now, Dustin is joining us. He's a friend of ours. He shoots here locally. And Dustin, I'll let you kind of explain why you're valid. I mean, you went from E-class to Masters in a very quick, short time. First of all, back up a minute. Tell us how you got started in sporting clays.
You want, like, the whole story?
Well, you know, yeah, that's fine.
All right.
It's not like Mr. Rogers story time or whatever they call it, but, you know. So, yeah, give us the abbreviated version.
All right, the rundown. So I'm 38. I'm Dustin Maroon from Toledo, Ohio, and I never shot a gun or anything until I was about 30 years old, and I inherited a shotgun, and my buddy's like, hey, you can come shoot trap with us. I was like, sweet, what's that? He's like, it's like clay targets. They throw them up in the air. I'm like, oh, yeah, like that side event on Duck Hunt when I used to play Nintendo growing up. He's like, kind of. Anyway, I started shooting trap with those guys, and I wasn't very good at it. I didn't really know what I was doing for the first year or two, and I kept working at it, had some fun, and joined a club near my house to get better. And some of the guys at that club took me under their wing, and I learned how to shoot the right way, you know. And then they taught me how to shoot skeet, and that was a lot of fun. It was a new challenge. And then after 3 or 4 years of shooting trap and skeet, a friend of mine was like, hey, you should try sporting clays. I was like, sweet. What is that? And he's like, explained, you know, it's like a golf course, and the targets change every time you go. It's challenging, but it's fun. If you can shoot trap and skeet, you should be able to handle yourself on a sporting clays course. I said, great. So I did that for a year or two, and I had a lot of fun. In Northwest Ohio and Southern Michigan, there's a lot of 50-bird non-registered clubs. Every weekend, every Saturday, Sunday, there's somewhere to go shoot. And it's a lot of fun, and I got better. And a few friends at my club that shot registered targets were like, you should try registered. I was like, okay, What's that? And they're like, it's a little more expensive. It's a little more competitive. It's a lot more organized, and we think you'd really like it. So I went and tried it, and I was hooked. And that was 2018 when I started in D class that year. That was a new rule for that year. And I worked through DC and B class that year, A and AA the next. And then last year, 2020, was my first year in master class.
Yeah. Nice. That's a pretty quick progression.
Yeah. And you've taken instruction from some pretty big names in the sport.
I have. So I teach music and band at my school. I'm a public school teacher. And my whole life I've played musical instruments and sports, and I've always had lessons on those kind of things because that's just what I was told to do. And that's how, you know, you can get ahead and get a lot better and learn proper fundamentals, and they can take you really far. So when I started shooting sporting clays the first year, I was just kind of figuring it out. And Eagle's Nest, I think, had just opened the year before, and Dan Bailey won the National Feet Test Championship that year. And I was like, wow, this guy must know what he's doing. I'm going to go get a lesson from him. So I took a couple lessons with Dan, and it was awesome, and I learned so much. Every time I took a lesson, my shooting just took a big step forward. I mean, he told me what to do, and then I had to go home and work on it. Helped a lot, and Dan was like, you should probably go check out what some other people have to say too, you know, get a more rounded view, you know, different slices of the pie, different parts of the game. So that year, Wendell Cherry was down at Big Red Oak, and I'm a teacher, and on my spring break, he was down there. So on my spring break, I drove 12 or 15 hours down to Georgia, took a couple hours with him, and it was awesome. I came home 4 to 6 months. I just drilled everything he told me, and my game took another huge step forward, got so much better. And then I was like, wow, you know, on these podcasts, you know, back then it was Behind the Break, and they were talking about all these coaches out there. And another guy was this guy named Anthony Matteries. Granted, I'd never heard of any of these people before hearing there on that podcast, but I was like, Anthony seems like a big name. I'm going to go check him out. So last year I went and took a lesson with Anthony in January, learned a ton. Again, he gave me the fundamentals of what to do. So I went home and drilled that for a few months, and I went back and had a few more lessons with him last year. And every single lesson, I always took a huge step forward. So I'm always a big proponent of coaching.
Yeah.
You know, there's never a bad time for coaching. If you're struggling,
agreed,
get some professional help. Well, shooting.
That's well said. I mean, and we get asked all the time. It's like, do I spend my money on shotgun shells and practice? Do I practice on my own? Do I learn on my own? But I think right there out of the horse's mouth, I mean, I'm not saying you're not a talented shooter, but obviously having coaches of that caliber help you has definitely accelerated your game.
Yeah, right. There's some great shooters in our area that have just figured it out on their own, and that's awesome. But like I said, I've always taken lessons. I love it. You know, I need someone to tell me, go do ABC, and you'll be able to do it. I say, all right, I'll go home and work on it.
Well, you know, to further his validation, Dustin wins a lot of tournaments locally.
Yes.
And he just bested Rollins Brown here at Eagle's Nest, a month ago?
Yep.
And, you know, for that big Eagle's Nest championship that Dan had. So congratulations on that, by the way.
Thanks, man.
And by the way, you were in the shoot-off for the Ohio State shoot for what? I don't remember now. I watched so many shoot-offs, dude. You have to forgive me.
That's a long story.
Is it that good or that bad?
Man, this was an emotional Ohio State shoot for me. A lot of ups and downs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last year I was fortunate enough to win Ohio State champion, the title. And it was great. And this year I came back and I had an awesome first day. I had an awesome second day. And I was only down a few targets. And in my last four stations, I dropped 8 targets.
Oh, ouch. Wow.
Yeah, my mind was on fire. And I ended up losing the state title by 1 target to a good friend of mine, Larry Welty. Congratulations, Larry and Sandy are great people on the Ohio State sporting circuit, but yeah, that hurt a little bit. Yeah. And then I was in a shoot off for a second, but my mind was not in a good place, and they threw the first pair and I never even saw the second target, and it was over before it started.
Oh jeez.
But you know what, if you can have a bad day and still finish second in the state and fifth overall, that's what's really getting me through it right now. You know,
yeah,
I feel absolutely really good about where I'm at.
Yeah, absolutely. Heck yeah. Well, hey, guys, let's take it from the top. So here comes Joe. We'll just pick somebody's name here.
Okay.
And they want to start shooting some registered targets, just like Dustin did, right? I would say the first thing is to join the NSCA and study the rule book. What do you think?
That's probably a good idea. And you could even back up just a hair and just say that you're a guy that's never shot registered tournaments before. Maybe you've gone to your local clubs with your buddies and you've shot some trap, you maybe shot some skeet, you maybe shot some sporting clays. You could even start out maybe by going to some charity tournaments, maybe some local tournaments, like Dustin said, that aren't registered, just to kind of get the feel for how the flow of a tournament goes. You know, you're squatted, you have dedicated scorekeepers and trappers, just to kind of get the idea of how it works. And then if you do want to sign up and shoot registered, definitely go to the NSCA, definitely get your card, and definitely get registered. And then, you know, from there, the world's your oyster.
Right. Dustin, what do you think?
Yeah, all that sounds great. If you're looking into shooting registered targets, then chances are you're at a gun club somewhere or you've heard about it from somebody you know. So, I mean, that's what I did. I had guys that I knew help walk me through it. And, you know, I'm sure one thing I love about the Sporting Clays community is everybody is always so happy and to help everyone else out.
Indeed.
So, I mean, if you are interested in registered targets and you don't know what to do, I'm sure you could contact anybody at this podcast and they would help walk you through it if you don't have a local club or anyone to help you with.
Right? So the next thing is, okay, let's say the guy's done this and now he's ready to sign up for his first tournament. Wind score, score chaser, I know different parts of the country use, what is it, iClays? I mean, it can get confusing, right? So the best thing to do would probably be to call the club where that tournament's going to be and see what format they use.
What I like to do is, actually, there's only one place where all that information is, like, consolidated. And on the NSCA webpage, it's a PDF link on their main webpage. If you go there, it shows you every upcoming tournament coming up in the country at every club. Because there's some clubs that don't use any online registration. You just have to call ahead. So if you want to find all that stuff in one place, I would go to the NSCA page. I mean, you can always Google each club, too. But, yeah, that webpage is probably the best place to go. And then if you see one in your state that looks local, then you can call them, probably.
And a lot of people are going to roll their eyes at some of this stuff we're coming up with. But, you know, my very next thing, I got some notes here. My very next thing is safety. And people are like, oh, good God, really? Yeah, really. You know how many times I've been standing in a box, and here's some guy jacking shells in an auto back behind me. It's like, what are you doing?
Well, especially like at the charity shoots and stuff where a lot of these guys don't have the background or the knowledge or the experience. And, you know, luckily there's enough guys usually there to help police that and say, hey, whoa, 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 you know, or that kind of thing.
Right.
But, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So you got to start from somewhere.
I still remember one of my first tournaments. I was like walking into the stand and putting shells in my gun, and my gun wasn't over the bar in front of me yet. And this older gentleman on my squad was like, excuse me, son, can't put your shells in until your barrel's over the rail. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. Thanks. And, like, I still remember that, and, you know, I haven't made that mistake since.
Yeah. And usually nobody's going to be nasty about it, but it is a safety thing. I mean, you want to make sure that, number one, you're not going to hurt anybody. Number two, you don't want anybody to hurt you. So
Or
yourself. So it's a common sense thing. I mean, really, it is. So, and most people are going to be able to teach you and instruct you and hopefully help you without being too nasty. Right. But obviously, if you're going to do something dumb, you're going to get called out on it.
And something else, too, I've seen, and this is a problem all the way up to the top. I know your gun's unloaded. You know your gun's unloaded. I don't want your barrels pointing at me.
Right.
And I've seen it happen a million times. The NSCA just released something here a while back about, you know, the gun racks and stuff in side-by-sides. They're not allowed to be horizontal.
Right.
I mean, because that barrel is not pointed in a safe direction. Now, it doesn't matter if you know it's unloaded. Doesn't matter if the safety's on or not or if the action's open. Just watch where you point the barrel, either straight up or straight down.
Right. Exactly. It's very simple.
You know, and there's a little bit more to it, and again, I think the NSCA's got a lot of that they cover in their rule book, and I think they do a good job at that. So,
Anybody at your local club, if you go out and take a lesson with even the local club hand or whatever, they're going to show you the basics. They're going to show you the safety. They're going to show you the rules. They're going to show you the etiquette to some degree, and hopefully that'll get you through. And there's a lot to learn. We're not saying everybody has to be a master their first time out,
right. But
it's definitely the most important thing is to be safe because nobody wants to get hurt.
Dustin, the next thing I got here on the list is, so they're going to shoot their first tournament. If it's a bigger tournament, say it's like a state or, you know, maybe they have more than one tournament, okay? So they got a main, they got a prelim, they got some side events. I personally only recommend just shooting the main, right? Until you've been shooting for a while, you can kind of shoot yourself out a little bit, you know, if you're signing up for every side event there is, or prelim, or side by side, or
well, we learned that early. I mean, you can definitely wear yourself out if you're not used to that.
Right.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think about it as if it's their first tournament or if this is more of a bigger tournament.
Well, you know, but some people will wait until a bigger tournament to sign up for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen it happen. I mean, I when the Northeast Regional was at Cardinal Center, what was it, 19? Yeah, 19.
Yep.
I was with a guy. He told me it was his very first tournament.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, wow, you jumped off in the deep end real quick. But right. That's okay. That's all right. But what I'm saying is, if he's there and that's his first time,
what does he need to do?
Yeah, he's about to shoot a two-day event. Does he really need to go over and, you know, burn up 200-300 rounds over shooting the 28-gauge and the 20-gauge and the side-by-side and the pump gun? No, you know, I think we just need to hold on a minute here.
Right.
And that's – listen, I'm no pro. That's why you're here, Dustin.
Oh, man.
But I just think you should just kind of back off a little bit for your first tournament. What do you think?
Yeah, a little, probably baby steps at first would be the safest way to go rather than being thrown in the deep end. Well, you know, I probably shouldn't play the HOA option, you know, if it's your first tournament.
Right.
I had a buddy that did that at the state shoot last week. Shout out, bud. I won't say his name, but he knows.
Well, let's start even before that a little bit. So let's say you're considering your first tournament. And again, I don't care if it's a small 50 or 100 bird register tournament or if you're going to the state shooter or what have you. So as a shooter for your first tournament, the first thing you're going to be concerned about is your rotation. Now, some tournaments maybe only have one rotation because it's a very small tournament. You go to a bigger state or regional tournament, they might have three rotations in a day. So like just at the State Shoot of Ohio, for example, we had an 8:30 for the main, we had an 11:30, we had a 2:30. Now, you might want to decide which one to shoot based on your comfort level because not everybody's a morning person. So maybe that 8:30 rotation isn't for you. Maybe you're a little bit susceptible to heat. So again, we were shooting in August. It was hotter than you know what out there. So 2:30 in the afternoon might not be the best time to shoot if you don't want to be out there sweating all afternoon trying to focus on targets and wiping the sweat out of your eyes. Right. So really give some thought about the time of the year, the conditions of the weather, and also your age and in your eyesight. Because
well, the lighting.
The lighting plays a huge – I mean, we learned that. I mean, just we had to do an 8:30 rotation Sunday morning and – we probably lost at least three or four targets just because the lighting was really bad through the trees.
Is that
and
what
stuff.
You're blaming it on?
Hey, I got to blame it on something. I got to point fingers at something.
Right.
But there's truth to that. I mean, you know, your lighting's better in the afternoon for sure versus morning. You get a lot less shadows, a lot less strobing like in the trees and so on and so forth. So, you know, put some thought into it. And also you got to talk if you're going to go with your buddies. Are you going to squad with some buddies? Are you going to go by yourself? Because then you got to figure out what squad you're on. Are you guys going to group together and shoot together? There's a lot of options out there that you really got to consider.
What do you think, Dustin?
Yeah, all great points. When I go to a big shoot, I always schedule my most important shoot first, and I make sure I don't do a morning time. I'm not a morning shooter. I don't like that morning light. I'm sleepy in the morning. Where I live, the closest sporting range is an hour and a half away, but within 2 hours, there's probably 10 or 12 places. So I almost never shoot that first rotation unless I go in the night before and get a hotel room. Otherwise, I got to leave my house at 5 a.m., and when I'm that tired, I'm not going to shoot well.
So, right.
I mean, sometimes you don't have a choice. If you want to go, you just got to go. But I always shoot in the afternoon if I can help it.
Well, and I know that being a hunter, I used to get up, you know, at the crack of dawn and go, you know, be in the woods at first light.
You fall asleep in your tree stand, right?
Well, but bird hunting. I did bird hunting and stuff. And, you know, so I was kind of used to that. But as the older I've gotten and I don't do as much of that stuff anymore, yeah, I'm not a big fan of that first morning, 8 o'clock, 8:30 rotation. That's
well,
not my time.
And then the other thing, too, is, you know, you said something about your squad mates. It's cool to shoot with your buddies. But the neatest thing about this game is the amount of friends we make.
Oh, yes.
And there's nothing wrong with just signing up and whoever you get squatted with, you get squatted with.
Yep.
There's also an opportunity there. You know, Sean, one of the first tournaments we shot with Jerry and Trace, and you know who I'm talking about. And we learned a ton from them. I think Jerry was double A at the time, and Trace was like maybe a B shooter, and we were in E class. And it was just watching them shoot and how they handle themselves. And, you know, you learn a lot from that. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we made two great friends, and we're still friends with this day.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
In fact, Trace was on the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with squatting with somebody else every once in a while. You know, I got sick and tired of you and JD and went and squatted by myself for a while.
Well, yeah, and that's a valid point because, again, I think the more people you shoot with, I mean, let's say you're starting out and you're an EDC class shooter. It's going to be really beneficial to you to shoot with some masters, especially some high-level masters, to really watch how the guys that have, you know, basically mastered the game or close to that point, just how they handle themselves, how they how they watch their targets, how they do their show pairs, how they plan. I mean, it's not just get in the box and bang, bang. You know, that's that's not it. There's more to it than that. So definitely squab with some people that have experience, and I think you're going to learn a lot.
And don't take that wrong when I said, Dustin, I was tired of getting beat by him and JD, so I had to get away from him. So what do you think, Dustin? You've squatted with different people over the years. I mean, what's your opinion on this?
Yeah, so when I started shooting, I actually didn't have any friends really that were into shooting. I started shooting because all my friends were having kids and they were always too busy to do anything fun. And I'm like, man, I need to do something on my own. So shooting something you can do on your own. You don't have to wait for your buddies to show up, like a pickup game of basketball or something.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a great shooter in our state. He's been around for a long time. His name's Dick Vance. And one thing he told me, I squatted with him. I'd never met him before. My first year of shooting, he's like, you know what I did when I was in your shoes? He's like, and this is like 30 years ago. He's like, I always ask to shoot with masterclass shooters when I register. You know, there's a spot there for squad requests. He's like, I always ask to shoot with masters. He's like, it doesn't always work out with squatting, but when you see how the guys at the top do it, you can learn a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, that's a funny story. Like our buddy Eric Jones, he was a longtime trap shooter. In one of his very first tournaments, he got squatted with this guy who he had no idea who he was. And that guy was David Radulovich. He goes, man, this guy's a good shot. Only later to find out who David really was.
Yeah, he should have took better notes.
No doubt.
So, okay, here it is. Here's the big one. Options. And when it comes to playing options, you know, there's Lewis class, there's class option, HOA, mystery station, and it can get very, very confusing really quick.
Yeah.
And Dustin, we're going to climb right back into this as soon as we hear from our sponsors.
It's all about humanity.
It's time to react like never before. For the first time ever, RE Ranger used artificial intelligence to test and optimize 1 billion different lens variations. It's time to see the sport in a way no one else has with React AI. Available now in frame kits, lens kits, and our most popular lens shapes. For more information, please visit reranger.com.
Hey shooters, when you're traveling, protect your gun in the finest case available. Negrini is a sponsor of the Dead Pair podcast, and right now, use the promo code DEADPAIR, that's DEADPAIR all one word, for a 10% discount off your order. Plus, if your order totals more than $300, they're going to throw in free shipping. Remember, Negrini, we case your memories.
Rhino Chokes and Shooting Sports introduces the Elite GP30 coating in their Gen 1, Gen 2, and its standard finish on their Elite Series chokes.
Not to mention lengthening and polishing of forcing cones to significantly reduce recoil, barrel porting to control muzzle rise, plus butt pads and recoil suppression systems to keep you fresher longer. Hey, these guys do it all. Corey, what do you think?
Hey guys, this is Corey Cruz, 2019 World Sporting Clays Champion. When you're ready to hit clay targets harder, give the guys at Rhino Chokes a call.
All right, so we're back. Now, options, Lewis class, class option, mystery station, HOA. Sean, let's start with class option.
Oh, he gets the easy one.
Sweet. I'll probably still mess it up, so don't worry.
I guarantee it.
All right, so class option is just basically betting on the class that you're in, that you're going to finish or place.
Betting on yourself.
Betting on yourself.
See, so, he already screwed it up.
God, give me a minute, would you? I mean, seriously? So if you're in B class and there's, say, 20 shooters in your class, right, and everybody wants to bet, then the pot or the pool of money goes to usually, what, the top three or top five, however they break it out. And that's what you're betting on. So if you get in it, you're an option to win. But if not, there's no crime. You don't have to play any of these options, and we all want to make that very clear.
And what's cool about that, too, is that, like, let's say you finished fifth in your class, but the other four guys above you didn't play the class option. The top shooter that plays the class option gets the money.
Exactly.
So I've had that happen a few times.
Yeah, I have too. Yeah, and we all have. I mean, it's really kind of random because not everybody, if there's 20 shooters, maybe only 10 play the option. Maybe only 5 play the option.
For me, it's a class option curse. Every time I play it, I get smoked. Every time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't play it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll win, and I'll go home, and the wife will go, you played options, right? And I'm like, no.
No, didn't.
So, but all right. So probably one that people have the most trouble with is Lewis class. Dustin's just kind of looking at me smiling.
No, you're good.
You want to take a stab at it?
Sure. But I feel like even though I kind of know what it is, every time I think I know what Lewis class is, I get burned by it and I don't win it. But that's fine.
Well, you're a teacher. I mean, it's basically grading on a curve, right? So you should be good at this.
Okay. So first of all, so for the people that don't know, when we talk about this, it's only the people that have played this option. Okay. And this ranges from masters all the way to E class. What happens is all the shooters at the shoot that have played the option, the highest score is then divided by the total number of shooters and then divided into three separate classes. So you have Lewis Class A, Lewis Class B, Lewis Class C. So it doesn't matter what class you are in, okay? So let's say that the highest score for the shoot is a 96, and that guy played Lewis option. So he is the high overall for Lewis class, right? So then they break that down. So they divide the total number of shooters, all right, and they split them into three groups. I have shot terribly. Didn't even come close to winning my class. I shot like, I think it was like a 79 or something. I think I was in B class. And I played Lewis option, but I won Lewis class B. Because I beat the way the breakout went, I won that class, and I won just as much money as the guy that shot the high overall score. So it's a gambling option.
All right, what I would add to that is everybody who plays Lewis, they get put on this little list on the side after the event is over, and they put everybody's score in a row, top to bottom, best to worst. And so if there's 30 guys that play it, the number one score would get paid, and then the number 11 score would get paid, and then the number 21 score would get paid. So it divides it equally.
Right.
And then if there's a bunch of people, the 1 and 2 in each class get paid.
So help us out here, Dustin. A lot of people don't understand back to class. Can you explain that?
I think that's like a class option that is required that everyone has to buy into. So I think some of the bigger shoots that went on this summer, you know, let's say the registration is $100 to shoot an event. $10 of that automatically goes back to your class. So I think it's a built-in required class option. What gets a little tricky, I don't want to confuse anybody, but sometimes there's a second class option that you can still buy in addition to that class option. And sometimes you're the only guy that checks that box on WinScore, and you just get your money back. When in doubt, call the club and ask them.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be confusing, all these options and stuff. And sometimes, you know, we still get kind of confused over this stuff.
And so the next one here is Sean Alley's favorite, and that's the HOA option.
Yay! Never played that one.
You play that all the time, don't you, Sean?
Oh, every time. Every time.
So this doesn't matter what class you're in. If you think, you know what, I woke up this morning and I'm bringing it, go ahead and throw your $10 down for HOA
option. That's right. Go for it.
And if you hit HOA, you got it.
Yep.
So, and then...
But Lewis class kind of is like an HOA in itself, because if you get the Lewis class, if you're that high score, you're getting paid anyway. Yeah. And then if you have an off day, you could still hit that the booby prize.
But again, only if you buy into Lewis class, yeah. Because the guy that wins with a 96, if he didn't play a Lewis class, it doesn't go to him.
I just think your odds of making money are greater on Lewis than HOA.
Yeah. Oh, by far.
Yeah. Well, you got to bring it. I mean, you better be on your game, and you got to have HOA.
But if you're the only guy that plays it, you'll always get your money back, too.
Right.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's really for people that want to gamble a little bit, want to throw a little bit of money at it and make it more interesting than what just the regular tournament is, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, the one we haven't seen in a while, unless you have, Dustin, is Mystery Station. We haven't seen that in a while.
A lot of the non-registered clubs do Mystery Stations and Draw Pots. I don't remember the last time I saw it actually offered at a registered event.
Well, a lot of charity shoots run that, too.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing we get asked about a lot is European rotation, and this one's pretty easy to answer. Basically, you're not set on a squatted time. You know, your squad does not have to shoot at a certain time.
Yeah, there's usually like a window, like say you got to shoot between 10 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. or 2 o'clock p.m. And it doesn't matter when you start, you score yourself, so it's an honor system type of thing.
Well, I've seen, you know what though, but I've seen European rotation where they've
I take that back. Yeah, you're right. I have seen trappers there, and they're just there all day, and they'll basically record your score. But I've also seen it the other way, where it's, you know, you're your own target puller, and you do your own thing.
I think for NSCA rules, you got to have three on a squad. So yes, if it's not a big event where they have trappers at every station, you got to be at least with two other guys, which is what makes it tough. You know, I live about an hour to, or 2 hours from any sporting clays clubs. There's a lot of smaller clubs I would love to support, but they're about 2.5 hours away, and I don't know anybody there. I don't have anybody going with me. I'm not going to drive 2.5 hours for a European rotation if there's a possibility I get there and I don't even have anyone to shoot with.
Right.
That's tough. Right. And you can edit that out later if you want to.
No.
No, that's all good. Have we left anything out?
No, I think for options, I think that's we've covered that. The single biggest request we get is to talk about etiquette on the course. And
well, we could make almost a whole other podcast just on
that.
Yeah,
and you know, listen, and let's just go around the table here, but I'll throw this out there real quick. If anybody has ever watched a golf tournament on TV, this is your biggest example of etiquette. You know, when the guy's getting ready to putt or whatever, even the announcers get real quiet. This is usually about the part where you fall asleep and your wife comes in a room and turns the sweeper on and wakes you up. But everybody's quiet. And there's something to be said there for that. How many times you've been in the box and you get the chatty squad mate behind you or this guy go, "Oh, man, did you see that?" You know, it's... Etiquette is being respectful to the people that are shooting.
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, you know, and that's kind of a double-edged sword too, Jason, because let's face it, there's always going to be some distractions when you're in the box. There could be a buggy driving by, the noise from the muffler. There could be some guys out talking on the road that may be maybe just being a little too loud. The one thing I can say is as far as being in the box and being distracted, it's having other people around you doing stuff that kind of detract from your focus or your concentration. But to be fair, as a good shooter, you need to learn to overcome most of that and work around it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been there. We've all been there. We've all been distracted. We've all had to focus hard when we're in the box and wish that people would be more courteous. But there's going to be instances where they're not.
Dustin, what about the noise? What do you have to add to this?
We're out there to have fun. We all get excited. We're all going to shout yes or no or gosh dang it, I was behind it or something, you know. But I think just trying to be a respectful person, you know, treat other people the way you want to be treated goes a long way.
Yeah.
I think being a good squad mate too, like if my helps, like if my buddy's in the stand and, or even if I don't know the guy in the stand, but I'm on that squad and I hear the next group get done early and they start creeping up on us and if they're making a loud noise, I might turn around and hold up my hand and be like, you know, like, come on guys, let's take it easy.
Yeah.
You know, he's in there.
Yeah.
You know, being a good squad mate can help a lot too.
I think that's a good point because even if you don't know the guys on your squad, let's say you show up as a single shooter, you get squatted with another squad, that really becomes your team for the day. And you all need to be looking out for one another. You all need to be able to watch the guy shooting so that if in case maybe the scorekeeper misses a chip or a small break on a bird, you know, the guy doesn't lose it. Because a lot of times we've seen that happen when nobody is paying attention.
Right.
The guy shoots, he's, "Oh, no, I thought I saw a chip." And he looks around, there's nobody looking, nobody watching. You know, somebody should be kind of sort of being backup, even if you don't know the guy personally. It's just a nice thing to do.
Right. And so here's another thing, too. Because of these podcasts, I think that a lot more people know who the pros are. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah,
what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'll be honest with you. You know, thanks to Behind the Break, I know who most of these pros are now.
Right.
You know, and I didn't before then. I mean, unless they were in a magazine or something. But, Let's save wanting to meet or shake hands with this guy until he's done shooting. His squad's done shooting, you know. And I'm going to say this as most respectful way that I can and very heartfelt, genuine thank you to everyone that comes up to Sean and I at the shoots. And we've been seeing that a lot more. People coming up saying, "Hey, we love the show and love what you guys are doing." We appreciate that so much.
It's a trip. But it's an absolute trip.
Let's wait till our squad's done shooting.
Yeah, you know? definitely. And I can imagine that, you know, even the more popular guys, you know, an Anthony, a David, you know, somebody like that. I mean, I'm sure that they're approached nonstop at a big tournament.
Yeah. You know? I didn't mean that we're on that level.
No, we're not on that level. But
this is an example.
Yeah, we've seen it. And I'll tell you another thing. So another thing I really stress and I really want people to know, let's say you are that squad coming up on a shooting squad. They're not finished yet. Be very courteous of those guys. Dustin already said it, but, you know, we've seen it multiple times. Guys get right in the box from the next squad. It's like, no, that's not your place. Stay away from those guys until they exit the box. Then by all means, go up there. Now, you can go behind the box. You can kind of hang around a little bit in the back, but out of the way. Out of those guys' way. Don't be near the gun rack. Don't be near where they're staging and they're getting ready to shoot. Stay back. Be courteous. Give them their room to breathe and let them do their thing. And then when they're done, let them leave, and then you get in the box and do your thing.
How many times have you seen that, Dustin?
It happens.
That is by far the most irritating thing. If anything on this whole entire program here, all my list of notes here, that's by far the most irritating to me. I had a guy, it just seemed like it was every station. Put it to you this way, Sean was, and I'm not going to say when, but Sean was up shooting, and I was following him, and I'm trying to see the pairs, and I'm, you know, going through my plan, making sure everything's right, and this guy would, like, literally step in front of me. He wasn't even on our squad.
Right, yeah, and that's frustrating.
And it's like, look, and, you know, you take places like Hillendale or Cardinal Center, Dan's got them now. I want to call them gazebos, but they're basically little mini decks with roof. You shouldn't even be in there. You should not even be in there. If it's not your squad that's up, you should not be in there. There's nothing wrong, and there's nothing against the rules that if your squad gets done before the next squad, you can get down there and see some extra pairs.
Yes.
That's fine. Stay out of the box. That right. is that squad's time to shoot, not yours. And for you to be stepping in front of a shooter that's getting ready to shoot so you can see pairs, I just think. I'm going to let it go.
Yeah, and realize we're not trying to yell at anybody or make anybody feel bad, because I know that there's a lot of new shooters in the sport and they may not understand the etiquette side of it, but put the shoe on the other foot. Think about it. If it was you in that squad and you had people coming up doing that to you, would you appreciate that?
Right.
Okay? That's all I'm going to say about it.
I think a lot of guys might not even know they're doing it. You know, just keep it friendly. If you do have to say something, be like, look, man, you're not in this squad. Wait about a minute, you know?
Right.
Sometimes it just takes a friendly reminder, and I think, you know, that guy will remember that for next time.
Yeah, and oftentimes, you know, the other thing we see a lot is let's say that we're on our squad, we're shooting, and the guy on our squad knows that he's up first on the next station. A lot of times he may walk down to the next station knowing he's up first so he can see some pairs.
Right.
And that's fine. Again, just don't get in the way of anybody that's still shooting.
Right. Exactly. Probably one of the biggest ones. Here we go, Sean.
Yeah, you say it.
I'm going to dip off into the pool here.
Go ahead.
Golf carts and buggies.
Golf carts and buggies.
Dustin's got a big smile on his face.
I walk at tournaments.
Yep.
I know, but wouldn't you agree that that's probably one of the biggest problems? People blocking cart paths, noisy. Some of these guys have aftermarket exhausts on their buggies.
Let's be fair. Number one, I don't think there's anything wrong with golf carts or buggies as long as they're used appropriately.
Exactly.
I mean, I've got a bad ankle, so I don't want to be able to walk the whole course or it just gets to hurting too bad. It's also a great way to hold all your junk. You know, you got your shells, you got your shooting bag, you got maybe a rain jacket, you've got your water, maybe a cooler. You know, I mean, that's a lot of stuff to lug around. And I know there's shooting carts and I know there's wagons and stuff like that you can use, but a buggy has its place or a golf cart has its place. It's just, again, be mindful. Don't block the cart paths.
Right.
Try to stay, you know, if a guy's shooting, maybe back off until he's done shooting his round before you pull up to the station, especially if you got a loud exhaust, like on these gas side-by-sides and stuff. Some of them are pretty quiet, again, some of them are pretty loud.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. But again, it's not anything wrong with people having, because I got to tell you, more people have them these days than not.
Yeah.
And even the clubs rent them out. So, you know, again, you're...
Well, but here's one, and... blocking the cart path. If you're in a golf cart or side-by-side buggy, whatever, I call them buggies because I'm a dumb Ohio redneck. But anyway, let's not block the path.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, I've been shooting sporting clays, Sean, we started in the 90s. Of course, we took breaks, blah, blah. Let's just say 10 years. And I made a mistake one time. I pulled up. I couldn't get off the side of the path. There was golf carts and buggies everywhere. And parked in the middle of the road. There was nowhere else to park. And the squad in front of us left. And I'm still parked in the middle of the road. Well, guess what? The guys that were on station 15, they started on 15. They got to get back around to station 1 to go to their next station. They can't get through because...
And you're blocking the road.
My dumb butt parked in the middle of the... But at the same time, you have to be respectful of the course, too, right?
Right?
If it's just rain, you don't want to be leaving ruts and making a bunch of maintenance damage for the club. So just use your head.
Yeah, I mean, you got to leave the pass open, because let's say that there's a trap that's down and the guy, the trap keeper or the mechanic has to go out there and fix it. If you're blocking his way, you're holding up the whole tournament, basically, because you parked in the middle of the road. Jason's got his hand raised like, I did that.
Well, he's a school teacher, so I'm trying to be respectful. I got one word to sum it all up.
Yeah.
Don't be a...
All right. Okay. Jason said it. He admitted it. He owned it. I'm proud of you, Jason. Proud of you.
Jules, you'll have to beep that out. Anyway, Dustin, I'm going to come to you at this one.
All right.
I'm just going to give you a scenario, because this is our next point, but I'm going to give you a scenario, and I'll let you take it from there.
All right, paint me a picture.
I was at a tournament. There was, I'm going to say, about 180 people at that tournament.
Nice tournament.
And it just so happened there was about 179 Sporting Clay coaches there that day.
Oh, man. What a great opportunity.
Do you know where I'm going with this? And will you take the floor, please?
And it's tough. My biggest problem in life is keeping my mouth shut, honestly. It's hard to know when to keep your mouth shut. I have trouble controlling it sometimes. My wife could attest to that. You know, in a tournament, you should never offer any advice unless someone asks you. And even then, you might not even want to say anything.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is, and we've got friends of ours that are guilty of it. And you know, I guess in a way, Sean,
we've all been guilty of it. We've all been guilty of it.
If you're standing back there and you're hollering, oh, you're behind it, you're in front of it, you're over it, you're under it, that bird's dropping, you're not really technically helping that person at all.
Yeah.
It's what they did to be behind it or in front of it or over it or under it. I mean, and during a tournament, it's not the time for coaching anyway.
Right.
So
yeah, we all love this game. We all want to be great at it. We want to help everybody else be great at it. And sometimes we're not as helpful as maybe we think we're being.
Yeah.
I would say the biggest thing is that unless somebody, you know, I've done it. I've turned around and looked at Sean and go, where am I at? You know, like totally lost on a target. And he might be like, dude, I'm pretty sure you were behind that. But that's okay if somebody asks for help, but don't offer it unless they ask.
Or if you have somebody on your squad mate, say, hey, don't be afraid to point out if I'm making some boneheaded mistake, especially like a new shooter or something that's not really super confident in their abilities or something. It's like, you know, if I'm doing something really stupid, you feel free to point it out while I'm shooting. And I've done that before by request. I have, but usually I keep my mouth shut.
And if there's something that you want to know, you know, I'm sure after the shoot in the clubhouse, there'll be 20 or 30 guys that would love to help you figure out what your problems
are. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. But that's, you know, that's just a courtesy thing again, especially if you are on a squad and the people you don't know. Don't offer up advice, because that's a good way to, well, it's a good way to defriend yourself. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so the next thing here on the list is, let's understand that backups are going to happen, okay? We're basically throwing eggs out of a mechanical device, right? There's going to be broken targets.
Dead batteries,
electronics. I mean, look, it's an electronic / mechanical device built by a human being. It's already got error factored into it, period. Okay. I don't care what manufacturer of whatever. I'm not getting into that. It's going to happen. Let's be respectful to the club, the trappers. Dustin, how many times have you seen a shooter take something out on some poor little 15-year-old trapper girl, and she had nothing to do with the problem?
Now, that's when I won't keep my mouth shut. Yeah, that's when I will offer my advice.
Agreed.
Oh, man.
But how many times have you seen that happen, you know?
Actually, luckily not that often.
No, but it does happen, and I have seen, not necessarily on all squads that I've been on, but I've seen squads ahead of me and squads behind me where particular personalities just feel like they need to lash out, and I don't like that. I don't like that at all. So
I think you need to be respectful of the trappers. First of all, I don't know any trapper that's rich. What I mean by that is these people are not getting paid a lot of money, and they're there to help you have an enjoyable, fun time.
Yeah, the closest thing I could relate them to is they're a referee for like a high school basketball game or football game.
Right.
I mean, those poor guys. I mean, you've heard all about the problems about trying to get referees for these sports because the parents are so terrible about yelling at the refs. I mean, who wants to get out there and get yelled at when they're trying to do a job?
Right.
So keep that in mind and just keep it friendly. Keep it professional.
Right. If there is a problem, and I'll just tell you that a very well-known club by us here locally. The club owner said it best. If there's a problem, don't leave that station until a referee or one of us, management, he was speaking of, can come over and resolve that problem. If it's a disagreement with a trapper about a target you thought broke and it didn't break, or maybe you swept the station, they marked you down for a miss, and they're demanding that there was a miss, and your whole squad, just stay right there, be very calm. There's a way to work this out without yelling and screaming and throwing shells and acting like an imbecile.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much enough said on that. I mean, we don't want to beat that one to death.
No, but again, this goes back to etiquette. This whole last 10 minutes of this conversation is about etiquette, and we need to push that point. Yeah.
All right, so moving forward, all right, since you brought up the word backups, let's talk about the one thing that does rile my skin. Now, this happens occasionally, but there are people out there that seems to just excel at this. They get up to the box, and they forget something. They forget their chokes.
Oh, jeez.
They forget their shells. Oh, I left my gun oil back in the cart, you know, and it's their turn to shoot, and they're holding everybody up because they weren't prepared. It's like, hey, we're in a shoot. If you're up first, you know you better have your stuff together, because if everybody's waiting on you, then you're causing a holdup.
All right.
Dustin?
Yeah, I was going to bring this up earlier when we were talking about just registering for your first tournament. You know, you've always got to be prepared. You know, if your shooting starts at 9:30, I always get to the club an hour early. Get there at 8:30. If your shooting's at 9:30, you need to be on your stand. I'm always there 15 minutes early.
Absolutely.
You know, if it's a 100-bird event, you need to bring 125 shells, unless it's feed task where you get to shoot a lot more.
Right.
But anyway, always have extra ammo. Always have all that stuff with you. You know, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. But
no, you're fine.
I might just take it and run with it. My first registered tournament I ever shot up at Detroit Gun Club, I was with a couple veterans, and first couple stations, these guys ran. I mean, I missed a few, I'm sure, but I was like, wow, these guys are great. But as we worked through the round, man, their scores just started getting lower and lower. They were getting fatigued. They were getting tired. I'm sitting there. I'm always snacking. If you see me at a shooting event, I'm always eating something. I've got fruit bars in there. I've got apples. I've got protein bars. I've got water. I've got a little energy drink. I've got what I need to keep my blood sugar good and to help me concentrate through the round. As we worked our way through the round, I got better and better as the course went on. And these guys, you could just see their energy, their hydration, everything dropping. So this isn't exactly with what you're asking, but you got to be prepared. You know, in my shooting bag, extra shells, extra glasses, extra earplugs. I always have food and snacks in there because you need that stuff, especially if you're going to your first event.
Yeah. Maybe bring some lens wipes because it could be raining. You need to wipe your lenses, or you're sweating because it's so hot. You need to wipe your lenses.
Or if you even get a smudge on them or something.
Right. I mean, you know, just carry what's relevant to you. Carry your chokes. If you know you're going to need like a long choke or a short choke, throw that in your bag or your pocket and just have it there. Because again, it happens, and I'm never going to criticize somebody for, I forgot to grab a few shells. Okay, that's fine.
But you don't want to be that guy.
But if it happens every station or every other station, then we got a problem.
Yeah. And Dustin, I think you're spot on there. You know, it's all about being prepared. And this is a sport where if you're not prepared, it's going to back up everybody behind you. It's going to make everybody else wait on you. And you know, my dad used to tell me there's nothing more rude than making somebody wait. And I'm not saying you got to be in a big hurry. I'm not saying that you need to rush. But if you're the second or third shooter in the group, okay, and you step up there and you decide you need to change your chokes, you need backhanded. Because you should have been changing your chokes on the show pair.
Right.
Okay, now, if you are the first shooter and you're seeing the show pair, of course, absolutely. There's every reason in the world why, hey, guys, give me just 1 second, let me change my chokes. Because nobody knew what the targets were like. If you're the second or third shooter and you're changing your chokes and everybody's waiting on you, you need a fresh one. So, you know.
From the mouth of Jason.
Yeah. And how many times, Sean, have we seen somebody step up there and they go, dead pair, up, no bird, dead, up, no bird, and they go, hey, does anybody got any shells I can borrow? I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You're about to shoot 6 birds and you brought six shells with you.
Not me.
Right. It's like, come on, man. I mean, I understand you don't need to lug 100 shells with you at a time, but come on, things happen.
Yeah, and right? I hope we're not giving a complex to the new guys that are getting into this. That's not our point. That we're not trying to beat anybody up over this. But if you are an A-class or an AA shooter and you're the guy out there that's not bringing your shells to the station. You're the guy that, I need to go back and get my gun. That's a problem.
You must have some polite friends there.
Right, yeah. Somebody's not calling you out enough, that's for sure.
And if it sounds like I'm getting a little testy, these are my pet peeves.
Yeah.
Okay, because if you haven't learned, if you have shot a registered tournament and I'm telling you something you've never heard before, you haven't figured out.
You're that guy.
You're that guy. And guess what? You're being rude because you're holding everybody up.
Right.
But
right.
I'm hoping if you haven't shot your first registered tournament and you're hearing what the three of us are telling you, you're going to take this to heart and you're going to be prepared. And the whole point of all of this is so you have a much more... The whole reason we do all of this, the whole reason you're listening to this podcast is because this is fun.
Yeah.
And if you're making it miserable for everybody else, guess what? This goes back to squads that we talked about earlier. You're going to have a hard time finding somebody to squad with you.
Right, yeah. And that brings up another good point, I guess. Let's talk about shooter attitudes. Anybody want to touch that one?
I have a great attitude, Sean Alley.
Depends on the day. As most of the listeners would probably nod their head like, oh, here we go. Now, I mean, let's seriously talk about attitudes, because I know we've all been squatted before with people that we haven't shot with. Yeah. And it always amazes me, like, there's the temper tantrum guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable to shoot on a squad with a guy that just blows up, drops the F-bomb every other shot.
And that's the stuff people remember.
Throws shells.
Yeah.
Cusses out the trapper. You know, don't be that guy. For the love of Pete, please don't be that guy.
Do you remember, and I'm not going to say the word, but do you remember the T-shirts that said, don't be a...
Yeah.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy.
Dustin just smiling.
I mean, we've all been there. We're smiling because we've all been there.
Yes.
And we've all seen it. And you know, the bad thing of it is, if you're that guy, unfortunately, you're going to get a reputation around all the other shooters. Like, yeah, you don't want to squad with that guy.
Right.
So we're just trying to be honest and
open. Yeah, you get pretty mad, once you take those shells out of your gun that you fired, you can fold those things in half like two or three times in your knuckles if you get really angry.
Right.
Yeah.
Might have done that once or twice this weekend, but nobody will see it, but, you know, that helps.
You could squeeze those shells as hard as you want.
Yeah, you can.
Just make sure when you're throwing
them in the bucket and
throwing them in the bucket. That's right. and you know, it's funny because I won the V-TASC at Ohio State for A-class. And
that was good shooting.
Thank you.
90.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. There was a target that I missed that was dumb. I shouldn't have missed.
Okay? There were a lot of those out there.
Yeah. But what I did was, when I ejected my shells, I held them in my hand. I squeezed them real hard. And I thought, okay, this is your lesson. Don't do that again. And listen, I'm a guy that's got a fuse. We'll just leave it that way.
Shorter one.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to breathe. I want to turn a good number here. And I let go of those shells. And when I let go of those shells, something happened to where I let go of that miss. And it's very hard to do, but when you can do that, when you can discipline yourself to do that, number one, you look more professional to the people you're shooting with.
Yep.
Number two, you've released your anger, and now you can reset and go to the next pair. You know, and I've been the guy that's got mad and thrown shells, and people don't want to shoot with you. They don't. They don't want to shoot with you when you act like that. So, long story. Okay, over.
I think have we touched? I mean, again, we could go on and on and on about this, but I think if we touch the major ones, or is there anything left?
Yeah, you know, if you're going to a sporting clay shoot, you've probably shot your shotgun a few times before. You got to have a bag or a vest, too. I mean, that I know, sorry, guys, most of us already know that, but don't be the guy that doesn't have a bag or a vest and have them, like, in your pockets and you're saving.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
You know, just be prepared. Have all your stuff. Put it in your bag the night before. Be ready to go.
Yeah. Is there any other big items that we've missed, guys, on the etiquette?
I think etiquette is a synonym. Ooh, sorry, teacher word. Etiquette's synonym. A synonym for respect. Just be respectful, folks.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's great advice.
I think to sum it up, if you're not sure, you've listened to all this and you're thinking, man, these guys kind of laid it on thick or whatever. There's nothing wrong with going to a tournament without your gun and just riding around. Just go ahead and rent a golf cart. Tell the club what you're doing and just tell them, look, I just want to ride around, maybe follow a squad or two.
I'm new at this.
See what this is all about.
And you know what? They'll have no problem with that.
Well, same kind of thing. You know, going back, if this was your first shoot, I would definitely tell your squad, hey, guys, this is my first registered shoot. I'm going to do my best. Let me know if there's anything I'm doing wrong. I remember saying that in my first shoot. And someday you'll want to shoot feed test too. And you know, when you go do that, you say, look, guys, this is my first time doing it. If I'm out of line, let me know.
Yeah. And you'll be amazed the amount of people will step up and help you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they're just going to say, this is great. They'll be positive. You know, they're happy you're there.
Yep.
Trying something new.
Everybody's there trying to help and have a good time. So
we push every week to take someone new shooting. And if you're hearing this and you're listening to this and everything we're saying is rhetorical, take that new guy with you to a tournament.
Yes.
You know? Thank you, everybody. Gameboard, Negrini, Ari Ranger, Atlas Traps, and Bear Pelt. We love you all 100%, and we hope everyone that's listening, we hope all of our fans will patronize our sponsors and show them the love that they've showed us.
Yeah, and a big thank you to Dustin. Thank you for coming in tonight, Dustin. Yeah, we know school's getting ready to start, so we just got you in the nick of time before your schedule got really full.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, maybe now Sean and I can go out and practice and catch up with you since you're going to be busy at school.
Absolutely.
All right, well, anything else, guys?
Dustin, we'll see you next week on
the Dead Pair Podcast.